For dear parsoners, with this gospel of the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, we are reminded of the tremendous duty we have of giving thanks to God. And because of our human nature, its weakness, we tend to forget that debt of gratitude that we have to God. May I remind you that whenever we pray, and also whenever we go to Mass, we are not just there to ask. That's the fourth purpose of prayer. But what are the other three purposes that are listed ahead of asking? To adore, to thank, and to atone. So often we think of prayer as asking, but remember, that's only one of those four components. And at times we should emphasize more the first one, or the second one, or the third one, and at times the fourth one. But they should all be there more or less. Adoration, we acknowledge who God is. Thanksgiving, we acknowledge that every good thing we have comes from God, and in a sense we can never thank Him enough for all that He's given to us. And then atonement, how often do we stop to say, Lord, I'm sorry for all the sins I've committed, all the times I've offended Thee, all the times I've let Thee down. Thank You for Your mercy. So let's reflect upon Thanksgiving today. As I said, we, because of our weakness, forget to do the thanking. We tend to take things for granted as though they're always going to be there. And in today's gospel, there's 9 lepers that took it for granted that they were rescued from a living death. They believed, all right. Have pity on us, heal us, save us, help us. And on their way to see the priest so they could get the legal certification of being cured, they found themselves healed. Their flesh, which had been rotting in places on them, was completely restored. They were able now to be welcomed back into society. They wouldn't be shunned as the worst of outcasts. 9 of them, 90%, did not think to go back to Jesus to say thank you. They took it for granted. Only one, the foreigner, the Samaritan, the heretic, you could say, was powerfully moved enough to not take it for granted, went back to Jesus and said thank you in the most expressive way that he could. We do take so many things for granted. God's blessings, His spiritual blessings, His temporal blessings. You know, so often we might make a novena begging God for a particular blessing, and that's good. But what about that novena of thanksgiving after we receive what we were asking? Do we remember to make that novena of thanksgiving? So our life really should be filled with thanksgiving. I wanted to point to 2 figures in Scripture as models of gratitude. One is from the Old Testament, one is from the New. And the one that I was thinking of from the Old Testament was Job. And I think I was thinking of him more so now, because every September when we have our breviary readings in the Divine Office, we pray, we always start with the book of Job. And we read that powerful story of this man who had it all, And it was all taken away from him, and he continued to bless God. He didn't curse God. He didn't turn on God. And he passed the test of fidelity, and God rewarded him temporarily even more than he had before. Just to refresh you on a few details, how wealthy was Job? How blessed was he, temporally speaking? He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. As we know, children are the greatest blessing of all. But his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a family exceedingly great. And this man was great among all the peoples of the East. So not only did he have, was he blessed with children and family, he had possessions galore. He had the land holdings to feed all of these animals, and he was highly respected, admired, praised. Satan saw this, and he went to God and said, "Job is praising and blessing you. He has a grateful heart because of how much you've given him. Why don't you take it away and see what happens? See if he has a grateful heart anymore." And God allowed the devil to smite him. One day when all of his children were at a feast, the roof collapsed and they were all killed. And then all of the disasters happened, his enemies invading his land, taking his flocks, taking his land, you know, ravaging his possessions. He ended up with basically nothing. And what did Job say after all these tragedies had happened? "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. As it hath pleased the Lord, so be it done. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all these things, Job sinned not by his lips, and spoke he any foolish thing against God. And when his wife was basically reproaching him and saying, "You must have been terrible for God to have these things happen." And he said, "We've received good things from God. We can also receive the bad things." Now, granted, Scripture doesn't say that he was thanking God for these sufferings, but he was blessing God, even though so much was taken away from him. So in that sense, I think it's entirely correct to say that he continued to have a grateful heart. He knew where it all came from to begin with, from God. And of course, it got worse. God even allowed the devil to strike him with a terrible ulcer, and he was just like a leper from head to foot. And yes, Job did weaken. You read about it, and he almost began to curse. He cursed his existence in a moment of weakness. And I think most people would probably be tempted to do the same. But he never gave up, and even though God corrected him for his, you know, what he did wrong, he did praise Job for having been faithful, for having passed a test. And God gave him back, as I said, even more than he had before. You know, when I was reflecting upon what Job lost, I mean, how horrible was it to lose all of his children in one event, to lose his possessions? I was thinking of the horror of September 11th, 10 years ago, this day, where many people were dying. Many were wounded. Incredible, incalculable amounts of property lost. As it happened in the life of Job, so it happens in the history of the world. God allows terrible things to happen. But what should we do? I think it's very clear. We should try to be like Job, to continue to see the hand of God. Even though God did not cause these evils, God allowed Satan to do it. Job saw the hand of God. And he said, the Lord gave and the Lord took away. Does not God, as our Creator, already own everything? Are not all of our lives in His hand? God gives, God takes. He has that right. And it's always in a way that fits in with His plan. So as we have this painful and sad memorial of how terrifyingly our country was attacked, how our fellow Americans died on this day, let us supernaturalize this memory, remembering that God allows these things to happen. He has His own purposes. We don't always understand what they are. Sometimes they're punishment for sin. Sometimes they're just for a test. God allowed this for a test of Job. I didn't read anything in Job about, yes, strike him for his sins. I'm sure he had sin, and maybe Job was offering it as penance for his sins, but that wasn't the main point of why God allowed this. So, a grateful heart from the Old Testament. We always do well to reflect upon the book of Job and the lessons that it affords us. The one I would like to reflect upon from the New Testament isn't the grateful cured leper for today. We already know about him. But the one I would like to offer is the greatest example of gratitude we could possibly have. Our own dear blessed mother. Remember when Elizabeth, when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. She's praising her. She's acknowledging the greatest gift Mary received, which was to be the mother of God. And what does Our Lady say? Does she drink in the praise for herself? No, she utters that most profound and beautiful and inspiring Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. There's our model of gratitude. This praise that Elizabeth, her cousin, was giving to her, Mary turns it right around to God. I praise thee, O God. Everything that I have is from thee. Thank you. It's a canticle of thanksgiving. Our Lady goes on and on about the blessings that have come from God. So would we not do well ourselves if we prayed this prayer of Magnificat? Could that not be our reaction when we're praised or honored in some way? Turn it to God. He's the one that gave it to you. You don't have it of yourself. We don't have anything of ourselves. It's a gift. We have to be grateful. We have to have a grateful heart. I remember reading what St. Louis Marie de Montfort says in True Devotion about the Magnificat, and he quotes one of the greatest scriptural commentators of all time, Cornelius a Lapide, and who was so filled with awe at this prayer of Magnificat that Our Lady prayed that he wouldn't approach to do commentary on it until towards the end of his life. He felt like he needed to acquire all the possible wisdom, learning, experience, and even personal holiness before he could dare to approach this canticle of thanksgiving that Our Lady uttered. And St. Louis says that that Our Lady herself often prayed this, especially after Holy Communion. I would like to recommend that to you, that you get it from Luke chapter 2, or if you want to just copy it out, or you could download it from the internet. I'm sure it's Magnificat. My soul doth praise the Lord, or magnify the Lord. You'll find it right there, good Catholic translation. Cut it out and put it in your missal, so that when you're making your thanksgiving after Holy Communion, one of the finest ways you could do it is to pray in union with Our Lady this thanksgiving canticle that she prayed for the blessings that God had given to her. So, my dear brethren, thanksgiving. Let's be resolved to never take God's blessings for granted. That we become very good at saying, thank you, God. Not just in our formal prayers, but even informally during the day when something works out or a prayer is answered or some accident is averted. Thank you, God. You know, there was a Franciscan saint, and I can't remember what his real name was, but I do know what his colloquial name was, and that was Brother Deo Gratias. Deo gratias is Latin for to God be the thanks. And he would go around all day long saying, Deo gratias, Deo gratias, Deo gratias. So naturally everybody thought of him as Brother Deo gratias. We could learn something from him, couldn't we? To have a more grateful heart. To grow in our gratitude. I mean, think about this, my dear brethren. For one Holy Communion, an infinite gift, could you ever actually give God enough thanks for that? You couldn't. Because how do you give infinite thanks for an infinite gift? We can't do it. We're finite creatures. But at least let's do the best we can. Let us make a good thanksgiving after every Holy Communion. Remember that for some 15 minutes after we receive, we're living tabernacles. And no, we'll never be able to thank God enough. We're really indebted. We're in debt to God. And we can never really pay that debt, but we can, you know, do express it. You know, how much we realize we owe to the good Lord and to Holy Mother Mary for all that we have. So, have a grateful heart. Pray for a more grateful heart. And you will find thank you becoming more part of your consciousness in your prayers. And as I mentioned earlier, today is a very solemn and sad anniversary. Let us thank God for what he has given to our country. And remember that tragedies should not be times of turning away from God. As we remember reading Job, he did not sin with his lips. He did not curse God. But rather he tried to understand God a little better. He tried to have faith and confidence. And that's what we need to do as we reflect upon this tragedy, what we lost, how we suffered. It's an opportunity to get closer to God and to share that message of faith with others. That's what we need to do as Catholics. That's what we need to do as Americans. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.